It's time now for KMTS Connections, a public affairs program from KMTS News, heard weekdays around 12:30, bringing you interviews and information regarding local nonprofit events and city and county services from Aspen to Rifle. Once again, it's Gabe from the KMTS Morning Show. Today we're talking with Dr. Brett Hesse. He's a hospitalist at Valley View Hospital, a graduate of Rifle High School. After there, he went to medical school at Eastern Virginia and interned at St. Vincent Hospital in Indianapolis. And then after that, found his way back home and again now works for Valley View. First of all, thanks for spending a little time with us today. I know
absolutely.
I've joked over the last two or three months that it feels weird calling us at the radio station essential, because compared to medical professionals like yourself, healthcare workers, public safety doesn't really seem to reconcile where the essential part is for us compared to you guys. Now, the main focus of today's conversation is, you've heard this for the last couple months, you know, we're running commercials right now for Grand River talking about people being so concerned about COVID-19 that they're actually delaying medical care for what are or could be critical circumstances and critical ailments. And as a medical professional, I guess, and a family man, you probably have to understand that. And yet, I'm sure you probably have seen examples where delaying going to the doctor or the hospital had serious repercussions.
Yeah, we've seen that on a regular basis, unfortunately. And I think, just as you said, I think one of the main things Valley View wants you to know is that we are open for business and really encourage people to seek out medical care. Certainly with coronavirus, there's been unprecedented issues, and we've been asked to do things that hopefully we won't have to do again in our lifetime. And people have been very good about staying home. But part of the consequence of that is they have at times neglected their health and put that off. And I think rightfully so initially in the first part of this, as we're trying to sort things out, as we're trying to protect the hospital's capacity. And as we work through this over the last months, we've gotten much better at it. We've learned a lot more. We've prepared a lot more. And now we're at a stage where we're telling people, hey, it is safe to come to the hospital. I've been asked this last 2 weeks by neighbors, people in the grocery store, patients, other contacts. Hey, is it safe to come to the hospital? Can I get my blood drawn? Can I come in and you know, get my mammogram done if I need to? I've been worrying about that. Well, the answer is absolutely. We've instituted a number of safeguards to protect our patients, whether that's the screening at the door, making sure that our staff go through their screening process every day before they start seeing patients. But the bottom line is we want you to come in and get seen for this. And you mentioned some people delaying care. You know, it is an unfortunate consequence. And we've seen, I've seen people in this last week alone coming in who had a cough, for instance, that they said, oh, well, I knew something was wrong, but I was just trying to be patient. I didn't want to burden you. I didn't want to take up the space of somebody else who might need it. And they end up taking a space in the ICU for something that if they would have come in earlier, they could have taken care of. So, again, just returning to our theme is we're taking all the safeguards possible here to protect patients, and we're ready to care for you for whatever needs it is, especially with Memorial Day coming up.
How much additional time does that screening at the beginning of your shift every day add?
Well, we have instituted the standardized protocol dictated by the state and the CDC. So we have basically a screening of every staff member who comes into the building every day, going through the required questions. Do we have, or such as, do we have a fever? Have we had a cough? Any runny nose, any shortness of breath symptoms that would be consistent with COVID, and we attest to that. So it's become part of our routine. It's become part of norm, just like swiping your badge to get in the door or saying hi to somebody. We just automatically get that done, and it's just part of that new norm for us.
You mentioned something just a second ago that seems to be almost universal about COVID-19, and that is there are so many unknowns. Obviously, in the case of lay people like me and in the medical community, since it is so new, you are learning all the time. And are you adapting those protocols that you mentioned, those guidelines from the CDC and from the State Department of Health?
Yeah, you know, I think that's been one of the most interesting things as a medical professional going through this, hopefully a once in a lifetime event. We have had to rapidly assimilate information, gather that information, digest it, and try to do our best with a dizzying array of ever-changing guidelines from federal, state, and local agencies. And one of the bright spots for me is the amazing, dedicated medical team that we have here. We have an incident command, which has been the lead group of individuals helping us get through this and navigate all those changes and get as much information as we can. And I have to say, I would put this group of people up against any hospital because of the way that they just spent hours, literally hours, reading, calling specialists, whether that's calling people at the CDC or the state to get the latest information. And it's been really rewarding from a medicine side, where you take absolute unknowns, since we haven't seen this, since we didn't have data early on. I remember such a lack of data to say, hey, you should do this or you should do that. We kind of fell back on some older protocols, which we realized quite quickly that we needed to make adjustments to. And we have brought really, I would say, world-class care to our local community here. The way we have taken that lead and really worked with the specialists and used the deep benches of facilities such as University of Colorado in Denver and reached out to some national specialists. We have a network of a lot of people that we went to medical school with and who are at bigger facilities from the East Coast to the West Coast and tapping into their experience and pouring over that. It's been really amazing. And one of the other great things that we've done is tried to utilize this knowledge. I keep saying to my colleagues, it's such a huge undertaking to collect all this information and to be able to share it with others. We've had outreach to our local partners, hospitals in Rifle to Rangeley to Aspen, to trying to share these lessons that we've learned and glean information from them. And so it's been a big challenge, but I think we've risen quite admirably to this with amazing internal leadership here. And like I said, I would put our team up against anybody and bring in that world-class and the latest cutting-edge care here is not a small thing for a hospital of our size, but it's been very rewarding. And I think great to see just people step up.
Talking about that incident command structure and system and the incident management team, one of the things I heard about, I think one part of that overall incident management plan was for hospitals with more facilities and capabilities like Valley View, if it came down to it, would end up having to treat a lot of the COVID-19 patients. And if it got to the point where your staff and your facilities were strained, then the plan is in place, not was, I almost said was, for you to actually send some of your other patients to other hospitals for treatment. Is that true? Did you ever have to implement any of that during the last 2 months?
You know, there was so much planning that went into this when we were in those phases of so many unknowns that we were really working hard to develop that plan. And with all kinds of partners, as I mentioned, from Rifle to Aspen to Vail, Meeker, Rangeley, bigger regional partners with St. Mary's and Grand Junction and the Front Range facilities. And we were looking at every option available. And we did discuss, the transfer of patients. We would take the most critical patients if needed and send recovering patients or less acute patients to those facilities. And while we didn't have to quite get to that stage, I was just amazed at the unprecedented level of cooperation between our hospitals. And I think it's a testament to again, our leadership, you know, Brian Murphy is our new CEO. He's been really working to continue to develop relationships throughout our community and work with our hospitals. I think it's kind of funny, having grown up in Rifle, it seems like there was always a little bit of, I don't know if rivalry is the right word, but let's just say there could have been increased cooperation on numerous levels of between Valley View and Grand River or Aspen, and it's been neat to see as I said, unprecedented level of cooperation. And I think it's just a commitment. I think people realize that you know, we're all a tight community. And whether it's, you know, from Parachute to Aspen or beyond, we all realize that working together is such a productive thing for us, especially when it comes to something like this, when, you know, there are so many unknowns. One of the things that we've done along those lines of, you know, building those lines of communication and sharing those resources is we've had weekly case conferences throughout this time where we review clinical cases that we've seen here. And to really look at how we cared for those patients and talk about national guidelines, cutting edge treatments. And we've done that with the collaboration of those facilities and the physicians, which has been really neat to see. So something we're definitely planning on continuing and hoping to continue to build those bridges.
As the old Sunday morning cartoon would say, necessity is the mother of invention, right?
Yeah. It's just great. You know, we got to, as I always say, no matter what it is, you got to take as many positives as you can and try to build on that. So we'll take it.
Again, we're talking with Dr. Brett Hesse. He's a hospitalist at Valley View Hospital in Glenwood. When we come back, we'll talk a little bit more about the patient experience, under what circumstances you should either see your own doctor or go to the emergency room, and what you can expect to that experience to be like if you do have to go to the hospital. You're listening to KMTS Connections. Welcome back to KMTS Connections. Again, this afternoon, we're talking with Dr. Brett Hesse. He's works for Valley View Hospital. And so explain what the term hospitalist means. I always assume it's kind of like you are the doctor that sees the patients in the hospital on a daily basis. I mean, in layman terms, is that about what it amounts to?
In a nutshell, yes. So we take care of the adults that are admitted to the hospital. And the hospitalist movement's been around for years, trying to create some efficiency in the transfer of patients from the outpatient world or the admitted patients to take care of them. As you can imagine, it's a lot to take care of an outpatient clinic and an inpatient service as well. I used to do that when I was had an outpatient clinic practice, and trying to get to the hospital, as you might imagine, for docs was getting more difficult. And as our patients got more and more complicated, they additionally or eventually separated off into an inpatient service. And then the outpatient docs primarily stay in the outpatient world now, but it's very challenging at times, especially now, but very rewarding.
And I imagine, yeah, I actually didn't think of it when I asked the question, but for the family practice doctors, it would be a real production. It's not just run over to the hospital, check on a couple of your patients, and then go back to the office. Because of the screening and the protocols that have to be followed, it would take, you know, all that extra time.
Yeah, and this is really, I'm speaking in historical terms. I mean, the family practice docs and internists, they used to do it all. And, you know, as the hospital census gets bigger and bigger, it became a bigger and bigger portion of the practice and gets to be very, very demanding. And so I think the model was started where they started trying to say, hey, well, people are going to just take care of hospitalists and then rotate out to the outpatient world. That model eventually came to, well, it's going to become a full-time full-time job. And that's kind of the way they split it. So Valley View's had a hospital program for over 10 years, I think, now, and it's been quite, I think, quite well received, and allows the folks to take care of patients in the outpatient and focus on them. And for when patients come in, we are able to take care of them, and we communicate as best we can, as regularly as we can with them, to make sure great continuity of care and that they get good service both inpatient here and when they go out.
Speaking of focus, the focus of the conversation today is about this concerning trend that a number of people, because of COVID-19 and concerns surrounding it, have put off critical care either with their family physician or have avoided going to the emergency room, either because they're concerned about what germs, COVID-19, might be present in those places, or because, as you mentioned in the previous segment, they want to make sure that resources are preserved for people that really need it. And I haven't heard any stories of death, but certainly there have been some serious situations where folks put off going to the doctor or the hospital and they came close. And today, part of our conversation is supposed to be reassuring folks that these procedures are in place at Valley View, at the doctor's office, and at other, obviously, healthcare facilities. So under what circumstance would you say, and I guess this is kind of a personal decision, so it's hard to tell somebody, you know, here's a checklist. If you check off, you know, 3 out of the 5, it's time to go to the doctor or the hospital. But are there a few tips that you can give people to help make that decision?
You know, I think in general, I would say that we're at a state of preparedness now that if you would consider going to the doctor for an issue as you would before the pandemic started, I would suggest that you would consider visiting them now. We have a number of protocols in place, both from the infection prevention standpoint of advanced screening, you know, ensuring everybody's wearing a mask, you know, robust or more robust testing than we've had in the past when this all started, to identify those cases and to isolate them appropriately. But again, we really are encouraging people to just think about that. If you need to come in for something, you know, don't put it off. In addition to the infection prevention and screening, et cetera, you know, we've adjusted some of our cleaning mechanisms so that we're being very vigilant about that and cleaning more frequently, more vigorously with different processes. And then we've also adjusted our clinics to function in different ways. You know, we have a robust telehealth offering now via our primary care teams and some of our specialty clinics. And I'm, for one, I'm hopeful that this telemedicine offerings will continue in the future. We've talked about it for a long time as a really a convenience for patients. And I think that having gone through this and doing it out of necessity has been really, really insightful for us. And it allows us to reach patients in new ways. And so I would say, again, our overall message is, you know, we're open for business with these modifications, additional protections, and we hope that people will come in. On one of the points that you raised at the beginning of your question, it's interesting, you know, whether or not there's been any additional problems or even deaths related to people postponing care. And there was a report that was released by the CDC, I think it was at the end of April, where they were talking from a statistics standpoint that Colorado has over the last weeks to month, couple months maybe, I can't find the primary source for this, but has experienced a little bit of an uptick in unexplained deaths. And, you know, that's a little bit hard to drill down to, but one of the news sources I was reading interviewed a specialist from the University of Colorado who analyzes health statistics and was questioning whether or not delayed care was leading to people presenting in more extreme circumstances, which could potentially obviously result in death. And so this unexplained rise in deaths, they didn't really know what was causing it. But again, I think an important reminder, we don't want people staying at home and you know, going without medication or not getting labs or even getting some preventative tests to follow up on issues that are pending with their team. So if you have any questions, I always encourage people, and I tell my neighbors and the people I see, as I mentioned, in the grocery store, you know, give us a call. Call your doctor, or you can always call Valley View, the main line, to check on things if you're worried about it. But the bottom line is it's safe to come in.
And that number, by the way, is 945-6535, unless it's changed at some point.
Nope, that's exactly it.
Of course, the website is vvh.org. You can learn more about Valley View there as well. We'll take one final break, come back and wrap things up with Dr. Hesse in just a minute. You're listening to KMTS Connections. Welcome back to KMTS Connections. Again, this afternoon, we're talking with Dr. Brett Hesse from Valley View Hospital. And in the previous segment, we're talking a little bit about some initial statistics from the early part of COVID-19. And you mentioned it's kind of difficult to drill down and specify what those deaths were related to and whether it could have been delayed care from something completely unrelated to COVID-19. Reminds me of one of the early stories I heard, one of the early Facebook hoaxes, if you will, was that if you took ibuprofen, it was going to make COVID-19 worse. And of course, in my lay mind, I'm thinking, okay, it's a disease that comes with a fever. So of course, people that died from it are going to have ibuprofen in their system. And I don't know if more research has been done and that's either been proven or debunked, but that's just one of those things that I think is common with anything new where there aren't a lot of answers. People are going to draw conclusions that seem to make sense, even though later on it may show not to really be the case.
Yeah, I think absolutely true. And I think that has been something that we've had to really sort through and pour through that data. And just to address that specifically, yeah, that was debunked. And it was kind of interesting the way that story came out, like a lot of things. A little tweet from a French physician looking at a very narrow spectrum got sort of blasted throughout the world, and that became something that we had to overcome. But it does bring up just an interesting point about the uncertainty. I think uncertainty in a lot of medical situations just creates a lot of fear, and that is something that has been paralyzing for a lot of people. And again, one of the reasons why perhaps they're not staying home or saying this is not important, or we're not going to worry about this now, and trying to get to trusted sources sometimes can be challenging. And so, as I said earlier, trying to reach out to your regular healthcare team or other folks that you trust, whether you have a neighbor. I know there's so many valued people all over this community. If you have them, have questions, that is, make sure you talk to them to sort of get some trusted information.
It's an easy 5-minute phone call, and you never know, it could save your life or a loved one's life if you're concerned. So yeah, probably depending on the severity of your symptoms, start with your normal healthcare provider and or call the emergency number, your local hospital, obviously in our area.
Yeah.
Aspen Valley, Valley
we'll
View.
Come to
Grand
the ER,
River.
You know, just like you normally would. If you need to come to the ER for something, our ER staff, too, they have a robust screening process for people, and are making sure that we're being as careful as possible. And our ER team is open. As I said, Memorial Day is coming up. We want people to enjoy Memorial Day. I know everybody's getting a little bit itchy to get outside in the sunshine and everything. And we ask that people do their best to stay safe. To try to follow the social distancing guidelines, to be smart, to protect our most vulnerable community members. But should something go wrong, we're here and ready to help out.
And, you know, through all of this, like with any national or worldwide incident, I guess, there have been those great stories that make you smile and say, maybe humanity will be okay. And you've actually seen a tremendous outpouring of support from the community at Valley View.
You know, I wanted to make a special note of thanks to all of the community support. And we have such a long list of people that have been, generous, whether that's children sending thank you notes, whether that's the in-yard signs that we see that some of the students made, to meals from local businesses, to free coffee or drinks or a donut, whatever it is. It's been very much appreciated by the staff. And I wish I had a list of everybody and had time to thank everybody. But I try to tell people about this, from our standpoint, especially on the day-to-day front lines of this, we have a new set of sort of micro physical insults that we're doing to protect ourselves, whether that's wearing a gown and gloves or wearing a mask all day long. I try to explain it to people. It's a little bit like, camping when there's lots of mosquitoes. You're still having a good time. You're still doing your best. But there's, wearing a mask all day long is difficult. It's hot. You kind of get, like a rash on your face sometimes. And, there's all these teeny little things that you have to do. You have to be hyper vigilant about, washing your hands like we always are anyway, but really paying attention to that. And, at the end of the day, when you show up to your ER shift, you're finishing your shift in the hospital, and there's a nice meal there that somebody made for you or donated, or a thank you note, that goes a long way to blunting that this little micro discomforts that the frontline staff undergoes throughout the day. We have such a dedicated staff, and of course they're willing to put up with a lot for this, but to have those thank you notes and those nice gifts really has made a difference for folks. So thank you to everybody who's done that. Again, I wish I had a list that and the time to thank everybody personally.
Obviously, you don't go into medicine for free food. And conversely, I would say that those folks that would do those little gestures for the hospital staff probably didn't do it to be thanked on the radio either. They did it because they genuinely are supportive of what you're doing and appreciate those microphysical insults, as you call them. I'm sorry. It's, for some reason, it just makes me smile when I hear that, because it's one of those things that it sounds complicated, and yet I know exactly what you mean.
Yeah, a little bit hard to describe, but I think it's just the reason why so many of us are happy to, whether it's returning to be back here to be part of this community. It's just a special thing, a small town like we have that's so tight-knit. We all take care of each other, and unprecedented times, I think, brings out the best. As I said earlier, I think we try to look for as many positives as we can in the circumstances, and you're just exactly right. Nobody went in for, well, maybe some of my med school friends did, but most people don't go into medicine for free meals. I think everybody is so dedicated here. I'm just so proud of the team that they've continued to put themselves out there and work extra shifts or longer hours or doing whatever it takes to take care of the community in a very special thing. So yeah, super happy to be here and continue that care.
But those people work for a different hospital. They don't work for Valley View.
Exactly. Definitely not here. But I would out them if they were here.
Fair enough. Obviously, you are a husband, a father, your parents are in the critical age group that we were told early on really needed to be careful about COVID-19, and you're a medical professional. How do you reconcile all of that, or have you had time to even stop and think about that in the last 2 months?
You know, I've had so many conversations with everybody from friends to my family, my parents, colleagues around the country. And, it's such an unprecedented event. And as I've said a couple times, hopefully something that we don't see again in our lifetime, that we're just trying to make the most sense of it and do the best job we can from a medical standpoint. Try to be the most prepared we can. I know everybody keeps saying, when is this going to be over? When is this going to end? What's it going to look like? And I think we just don't know. I think that we're doing our best to protect our most vulnerable patients and trying to get back to some sense of normalcy as best we can. And it's going to be just a continued work in progress over the next weeks to months. So we can figure this out, and hopefully we'll have better treatments. Hopefully they'll be able to, if the vaccine is achievable, that will be done in the most expeditious, safe manner possible. But boy, it's interesting. A lot of interesting conversations, and I don't know. I don't know where how this is going to go, but we're going to keep at it and until we get back to normal.
Speaking of giving, how are you on blood supply? Are you still needing blood donations from the community, especially the universal blood types like O positive in my case?
Yeah. We work very closely with our regional partners to maintain an adequate blood supply. And I would be remiss if I didn't say we always need blood. Those stores are obviously perishable, and we need to replenish those supplies. You know, we are well stocked, and again have a good network to be prepared for anything. But we have been working on blood drives, and I wish I had the date. We'll have to see if we can get that and maybe post it on our website about when the next blood drive is here at Valley View. Looks like, today, in fact, is the Bloodmobile is at Valley View Hospital.
Perfect.
From 11:30 to 2:30 p.m. So if anybody catches us early, great. Otherwise, the folks at St. Mary's Blood Bank down in Grand Junction would appreciate hearing from you if you do have an opportunity to donate.
And again, future dates will be at vvh.org. And speaking of which, again, if you have any question, if you feel like you normally feel bad enough, you would go to the ER, go to the ER is really the bottom line, I think, of the conversation today. Wouldn't you agree, Dr. Hesse?
Yeah. If you need something that urgent, you need to go to the ER, go to the ER. If you've got something that's been on your mind for a long time and you need to get plugged back into your primary care team, or you need to see one of our specialists in our network, we're ready to go. And as you mentioned, if you just have a question, you can always call our main line at 945-6535 to see how you can get plugged in, or if you need to get your lab work or mammogram or whatever it is, we're ready to help out.
All right. Thanks again for taking so much of your most valuable time to talk with us a little bit. Hopefully we eased some fears a little bit today and gave folks maybe a little bit of information they didn't have before.
Really appreciate you having me. Have a good day. Thank you.
Take care. Stay safe. You've been listening to KMTS Connections, a public affairs program from KMTS News, heard weekdays around 12:30. It's another reason we are the most listened to radio station from Rifle to Aspen.